So our lessons this morning don't directly address the sacrament of communion at all. And yet, these passages can help us better understand the importance of why during our communion service we make it very clear that we serve an open communion, that all are welcome at the table of Christ. So that's what I want to explore with you for a few moments this morning. And the place to begin is with this little image. Imagine for a moment you're at home, and the phone rings, and you answer the phone, and you're told that this guest that you've been waiting for a long, long time, is about to arrive. Who knew? So you're very excited. You hang up the phone and you plunge right in to get everything ready. You start washing the house, wiping the surfaces, straightening everything out, vacuuming everything, just to get ready for this wonderful guest who's finally about to arrive. And in the midst of all this rush and activity, there's a knock on the door. And you go to the door, and there's this disheveled person standing there, with dirty hands, dirty hair, dirty clothes, unkempt, a beggar. And you look at him and you say, "What is this? I don't have time for this. They're begging, go beg someplace else. I'm busy." And you slam the door in their face. And you get back to work, getting ready for your guest. Only to discover a long time later that the person who arrived at the door actually was the guest. A gift of God that you had missed. In our gospel lesson, the religious authorities are focused on the kosher laws. And when you read them, they sound pretty healthy. They're the traditions that came from, you know, the days of Moses. All the ways to get ready for the guest, for the Messiah to come. And so the religious authorities are busy managing and controlling, doing all their rules and regulations. And they don't see. They don't see who it is that's standing in front of them. Jesus. God. They slam the door in his face. All they can do is criticize. Now, I've listened to many Jewish families over the years describe the kosher practices. And I've always been so impressed, because it's a lot of work, but there's always this sense of wonder and amazement that the families have of, it's just such a sacred task to make the house ready, to get everything ready. It's a way, I can just hear it in their voices, a way for them to open their hearts and their homes, to get ready for the surprise, for the unexpected guest who might come this Passover. So it's a beautiful tradition, and I think it works really well. And yet, the Bible, both in the Older Testament and in the Newer Testament, talks again and again how it's so easy for us humans, especially us religious humans, to take our religious traditions and turn them into something else, into instruments of judgment, of control, of domination, and thereby lose all sight of their real purpose. And instead of opening our hearts, we end up closing our hearts to the guest of God. And so in the Roman Catholic tradition, which is what I grew up in, I remember being taught about Holy Communion. The Catholic tradition practices what you'd call closed communion. You need to be Catholic. You need to be properly instructed. You need to go through First Holy Communion. You need to be prepared in order to receive the sacrament of Christ in your hands. In many ways, it's a lot like the kosher traditions. It's meant to get you ready, to open your hearts to welcome the guest of God into your life. And when it works that way, that's the beauty and wonder of the Catholic Mass. But closed communion has led to tragic results. Pope Francis has recently talked about the clericalism of the Catholic Church as a huge, huge problem. The elevation of priests, the elevation of the hierarchy, the control, the managing of the traditions, the ways they look down on everybody. This clericalism is at the center of the misuse and the abuse, the violence and the violation of children and young people. It's heart of the clericalism, the closeness of the system, which is why the Catholic Church is not able to self-regulate, because it's a closed system. You need, in the days of Vatican II, to open the windows and let light, let air in, let other people in, so things can really change in a fundamental way, so you can get back to what is holy and sacred and good. Or as Jesus more simply puts it, you abandon the commandment of God, holding to human traditions. Or as I would put it, you slam the door on the divine guest. So these are the reasons why we here at South Church and in our United Church of Christ congregations celebrate open communion. We open the windows. We open the sanctuary. Anyone who seeks to follow in the way of Christ is welcome at the table in order to try to hold to the commandment of God, the commandment of love. Now, Rumi, the Sufi Islamic medieval poet and mystic, also was working on this theme of openness. He was a contemporary of St. Francis of Assisi, and like Francis, Rumi was trying to open the doors of his own Islamic traditions. They have their own kosher traditions, they have their own religious rituals, and Rumi was busy trying to open the windows and open things. Just as Francis, just a few years earlier, was scandalizing the whole medieval Christian world, decrying the wealth of Rome, the wealth of the popes, the wealth of the church, telling them all, you should take Jesus seriously. Give everything away. Open your hearts to God. Live in poverty so you can experience the abundance of God. That's where the Franciscans came from. The mendicants, they wandered with nothing, because that's how to receive everything. Rumi was doing pretty much the same thing through his poetry. Welcome everyone and everything, he says, because it's all a gift of God. So listen to the rest of this guesthouse poem and hear it through the eyes of St. Francis, Pope Francis, and for us. This being human is a guesthouse. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Each has been sent as a guide from beyond. In the midst of the deepest darkness, there is a gift, if you can find it. So the guest house is on the back of the bulletin, so you can take it home and ponder it this coming week. So the question is, from both St. Francis and Rumi, can we really open ourselves to everything? Can we really give everything away? Do we really want to become mendicants? Do we really want to just open? Well, that, you know, both of them are kind of pushing the envelope as far as it can go, just to try to wake us up. So here's another way to think about it. Can we become a little less closed? The closed Christ of the church to the open Christ of the scriptures. Can we be a little more generous? Can we welcome a little bit more ourselves, others, God? Can we just move in that direction a bit? Where would that lead? I think that's where this poem, these scriptures lead. So if you imagine that God is a God of judgment, the closed Christ, that you have to be worthy, that you have to be obedient to a certain degree before you're going to be let in, then you have a model of God where God's kind of got a clipboard or an iPad checking everything out, just keeping an eye on you all the time and see if you've made it far enough. And basically, in that model, you're going to experience most of your life as a kind of punishment. Bad things happen, and that must be God telling me I'm bad. But if your image of God is that God is your companion on the journey, the open Christ, Jesus walks with us, with each of us, loving us, strengthening us, guiding us through thick and thin, then perhaps we might experience everything that comes as something, each of them bearing a message of love from beyond. Where is love here? How could love be here? What are you trying to tell me, God? You're not trying to punish me. What are you doing? Experiencing life as an endless series of unexpected guests to teach us, to help us open the doors of our hearts. So back to my initial little image. What if, in spite of you slamming the door on the guest and rushing around and never seeing, what if the guest isn't outside? What if God is already sitting in your living room and you're vacuuming all around God's feet? You're wiping everything down, and there God sits with this smile on the divine face, simply waiting, waiting, waiting. Will you ever notice? Will you ever notice that God is right here within you? This is what James is talking about. The generosity that comes to us all the time, the implanted word that can save our souls. All we really need to do is simply receive. The light of mercy, the light of forgiveness, the light of love that's already here within us, within you, within me, within this tragic world, waiting for us to wake up and notice. Jesus opens the divine arms wide, welcoming us home. That is why we have open communion here at South Church, to remind us that we are the guests of God. Amen.